thank you all for having me here today, and thank you to my panelists for sharing your interest in this really important topic. So today I'm talking about child and youth mortality in Baltimore City. Child and youth mortality is anything but an easy topic to talk about. There's not a person in this room who's been untouched by child and youth mortality. However, based on our personal circumstances and where we live, our experiences range dramatically. I want to acknowledge my authors on this report. Several of the folks are from Johns Hopkins, and the exception would be Seema Iyer, who is from the Baltimore Neighborhood Indicators Alliance, who I'll be sharing data from throughout this report. Support was received from the Johns Hopkins Urban Health Institute, and also I always need to acknowledge the Brown Community Health Scholarship, which funds my education at Hopkins, and without which I would not be here. This work is dedicated to some friends that I've lost along the way, in particular, Blair, Richard, Dan, and Mark. Presenter disclosures, I have none. All right, it's a little bit of background on Baltimore City. What you're looking at here are the 55 community statistical areas in Baltimore. Those community statistical areas are aggregates of census tracts that are adjacent and have similar socio-demographic characteristics. One of the big headlines that we're seeing in Baltimore from these data is there is a 20-year difference in life expectancy between neighborhoods less than 5 miles apart. You see here on this map, those up here in the north part of the city have a high life expectancy in the 80s, whereas down in that downtown area, you see a life expectancy of 65 years old. Some of the major questions that are floating around the city are these variations in life expectancy a matter of old people dying young or young people dying? The second is, the Baltimore City Health Department has been examining the variation in life expectancy with an eye towards race and economics. However, they were not able to explain the variation based on either of those indicators alone. Here in Baltimore City, we have a very high child and youth mortality rate, in particular the youth mortality rate. Both of these numbers are substantially higher than what we see in the rest of the state. With Baltimore as the urban center, we see much higher mortality rates for both the children and the youth. You can also see the disparities by race. Those in the ages 1 to 14 is smaller. However, when you get to the ages 15 to 24, or the youth, the differences are much higher. And again, these are substantially higher than they are in the rest of the state of Maryland. Okay, so two key questions here are driving this research. So, does child and youth mortality vary by neighborhood? And second, does disadvantage explain variation in mortality rates by neighborhoods? We know, based on the higher rates of mortality in the black children and youth, that neighborhoods with concentrated populations by race are more likely going to have higher rates of mortality. However, there are lots of predominantly black neighborhoods in Baltimore that don't have high rates of mortality. So what we did in this project was to look at how disadvantage, which I'll explain how we defined in a moment, explained that relationship between race and mortality rates for children and youth. These data are, this is the ecological analysis at the census tract level, the community statistical area level, and it's cross-sectional data. So we used 5 years, 2008 to 2012. It's a large time period, but for the small area data, it's necessary to use this type of time period to be able to get sufficient numbers for your analysis. Data sources, again, the Baltimore Neighborhood Indicators Alliance. This is a source for many stakeholders are using to examine interurban variation in Baltimore across neighborhoods. In addition, the Baltimore City Health Department did provide some additional statistics beyond what is in the Baltimore Neighborhood Indicators data set, and also supplemented this with data from the American Community Survey. When we submitted the abstract, we had used census data and discussed increased confidence in the American Community Survey with being a 5-year aggregate of data. So we switched that out for this presentation. However, the numbers are only slightly different. There's a 0.97 correlation between the two. Okay, so there's three key measures that I'll be talking about today. The first is the mortality rate, And this is a crude mortality rate, so it's just the number of deaths over the number of person years observed. The total number of deaths for children in Baltimore during this time was 133. The total number for youth was 620. The next step is the proportion of the population that is black in each neighborhood. And then we talk about neighborhood disadvantage. I came across this measure in the literature after doing quite a bit of work trying to find the best indicators in Baltimore. And I've really grown to appreciate it. It takes into account four specific indicators from the American Community Survey, two of which are specific to disadvantage. That would be the number of households or percent of households living in poverty, which is the economic indicator that we all generally think about when we think about disadvantage. The second is the percent of female-headed households with children. In addition to what we consider the economic struggles that those families may have, the parents may also have difficulties with working multiple jobs, keeping track of children when they're at work, and so they do have an additional struggle there. In lines for advantage, we have two indicators here. The first is the number of occupied housing units that are owner-occupied. The second is the percent of adults with greater than a bachelor's degree. These two indicators, the owner-occupied looks at wealth, but I also think it explains or discusses the investment in the community. And the education, we also see we see quite a bit of variation in this, which I'll show in a couple of slides. But this is the percent of adults with a bachelor's degree or higher. And so I considered trying to get the calculation algorithm here for everybody to share, but I'm happy to share the reference for you. In short, the disadvantage, you take the disadvantage and then subtract the advantage, do a couple of transformations, and end up with a range from 0 to 10. Each unit increase in that 0 to 10 represents a 10% increase across all indicators, or a 40% increase off of just one. In general, I think it's easier to think about that 10%. We also broke this into a categorical variable for disadvantage for those with low, which have significantly more of the advantage indicators than the disadvantage. The high, which have more disadvantage indicators than advantage. And then the moderate, which falls somewhere in between. All right. In our analysis, in addition to the maps and things that you'll see today, we also did descriptive statistics, looked at the median, mean, and range. For a measure of spatial dependence, we use Moran's I. It generally falls between -1 and 1, but sometimes falls out. But this is a measure of how much neighborhoods are likely to be close to their, or how much neighborhoods are likely to be like their neighbors versus somebody who's or a neighborhood that's a few miles away. Then we took a look at the mortality rates for child and youth mortality relative to the best. Often you hear folks talk about the average. But in line with my studies with WHO, the leveling up is important, right? So our aims are to level up to the best, not just pull everybody to the average. So for that reason, we use best as the comparison. Then we used a series of Poisson and negative binomial regression models to illustrate the relationship between relative disadvantage and mortality rates. And then we did a mediation analysis to look at the relationship between race, disadvantage, and mortality. And then lastly, we did an analysis of the residuals, looking for outliers, or what we would call positive deviants, areas that were doing substantially better than we would expect based on how the rest of the city looked and the average mortality rate in that area. All right, so here's some quick numbers. The child mortality rate and youth mortality rate had quite a range across the city, community statistical areas. On average, we saw about 3 per 10,000 for child mortality rate, and then 13 per 10,000 for youth. For the children, you see a range of 0 to 21, but I want to point out that there's two outliers in there, and the rest are below 10. I want to take a moment to point out the numbers here for our percent black and then our neighborhood disadvantage index, and of course the measures that went into that. The variation across these 55 community statistical areas is quite staggering. We have community statistical areas with less than 3% black and more than 99% black. We have neighborhoods that have less than 50% with a high school diploma. Not on here, but one of the things that goes in line with the education. Okay. So here's the first of the sets of maps that I'll show you today. This one looks at the percent of the population that is black and the percent of the, and the neighborhood disadvantage according to that relative three-category indicator that we created. I find this map quite striking. We used three groups for the percent black. However, most of these in the greater than 60%, 66% are actually more in the lines of 80, 90, 95%. The correlation between these two was high, but not as high as it could have been. We expected it to be high, but it's not a perfect match. The Moran's Eye, I want to point that out for these two. This, the one that looks at percent black has the highest Moran's Eye that I have in this presentation, so that we see a lot of clustering. The neighborhood disadvantage also has a somewhat high Moran's Eye, but not quite as high as what we saw for the percent black. I want to point out a couple of things. Low disadvantage, for those in the low disadvantage groups, nearly all had a predominantly white population, and none had more than 66% black. For those in the high disadvantage group, all had greater than a 66% black population. All right, so here are the mortality rates for children and youth. Again, we set this as a comparison to the best. So the green, the dark green, those are what we would call the best. That's the average of the top 25%, and that those are those areas fall within that. The near lowest is within one standard deviation. Somewhat higher is one standard deviation above the near lowest, and then higher is two standard deviations. So that's what we would look at as statistically significant. With small area units, it's difficult to work with statistical significance when your numbers are small and can vary. One thing I want to point out here is that there is a low correlation between these two, which builds on what we found in our report, which also looks at trends and leading causes of death, which vary dramatically between these two areas, or these two groups. Okay, so here's our regression models looking at relative disadvantage. You see that both for the children and the youth, high disadvantage was associated with more than a twofold increase in mortality rates for those areas. And for the youth, we also saw an increase of more than two for the moderate areas of disadvantage. Another important thing I want to point out here is that the spatial relationships that you saw in the previous slide for the youth were explained by the disadvantage, right? So the spatial relationship, the residuals from this analysis were no longer statistically significant in regard to their spatial correlation. So we didn't have to do any additional adjusting. Okay, so here's a quick look at our mediation models. The top part is our univariate, so these are just that single variable in the outcome. You see that the proportion black is significant in both. As a reminder, these are on a 0 to 10, so this isn't just there's quite a bit of increase. It may look small, but it's quite a bit. The most important thing that I want to talk about here is the bivariate analysis, in which we saw the proportion black no longer significant for the children, and about a 40% reduction in the relationship there for youth. However, neighborhood disadvantage held strong and continued to be the stronger predictor. Our residuals analysis has been quite interesting. I focused today on the youth because the children's analysis, there's less variation, so the greater variation here in the youth provides us a little more confidence in the differences that we're pointing out here. I want to draw your attention to East Baltimore. So this is the area where you do see that one bright green. However, you also see a lot of red right outside of it. This area is part of a community revitalization project, the one that's doing better, which is tough to talk about in Baltimore because there's a lot of questions about how that proceeded. But what we're seeing is that a lot of population was moved out of that group that's doing better, and it's possible that they moved into these other areas. What we need to do now is look at this longitudinally to see how this community revitalization project may or may not have been associated with increases in mortality for the adjacent areas. And we're also talking to stakeholders in these communities about what's going on in their areas. Some of the other ones that we see around here, we're familiar with interventions that are happening that are directly affecting the mortality rates for youth. So that these These are in line with what we expected to see. All right, so what I did today was an illustration of urban inequities. That is, inequities that are caused by an unfair, unequal distribution of resources. This work is just a starting point. This was a very simple analysis intentionally to provide that explanation of what we see. We have significant momentum for targeted neighborhood interventions for those in the areas with the greatest needs. This momentum comes from everything from systems reform to the WHO supporting leveling up the playing field to also neighborhood indicator partnerships. So urban areas around the country are working on providing these types of data to their communities so people can make decisions about targeting interventions. Future research, again, should focus on social processes and the public health needs that are also in these communities to tailor prevention efforts across service systems. All right, that's all I have. Thank you.
Any questions?
Make it easy for me, all right.
Okay. I do have one comment because I was thinking that, you know, some of this, you were alluding to this big differences in inter-urban differences and these disadvantaged communities. Do you think that it's in framing your general approach that you could add even other indicators, other layers on top of the economic disadvantage, like I was thinking environmental quality?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's kind of what I'd like to do with the next steps. Mm-hmm. In particular, social processes, collective efficacy for one,
right.
Huge. Also, crime. That's a little too strong of an indicator when we're looking at youth mortality, yes. Which is in this area generally driven by homicide. So, but yes, absolutely.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Thank you.